Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
May 17th at Cleveland's Agora Theater, and May 18th in Detroit at the Royal Oak.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning, where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from the Koi Pond, Joe Koi, and Paul Walker's brother, Cody Walker. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, a papa who don't take no mess, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We do appreciate you sharing this pod with other folks. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Ball Brian.
Ball aboard, asshole.
Joe Koi in studio.
I love you.
Our favorite Joe Koi.
Did you see the sweatshirt I gave you?
I got the sweatshirt. I got my new hat, which Philly cheesesteak destroyed the old hat. Actually,
that hat had a good run.
Well, no. Couple things.
The Jimmy Kimmel hat?
One is not only that, but there is a one hat was given away to a friend.
Yeah.
And my son's best friend is named Jensen Karlick.
JK.
So it was decided that this hat must be removed from me and given to my son's friend.
Yeah. That's awesome, because when he wears it, people go, oh, what's JK? And he's just like...
By the way, all the I laugh about this all the time, but like when I was 9 or 10 and Mr. Vendig would come home because I was playing with his son and I saw that guy's Impala pull up the driveway, I was like... Shit, what do we do? Hide whatever.
Scatter.
Stop doing whatever you're doing. Put shit away. Don't go. No, those are his snacks. Put that shit back. Don't touch anything. Yeah. Like, it was this crazy, like, I walk into my house now, and my son and their friends are just eating pudding with their hands, sitting on my sectional sofa with no bowl, just hands full of pudding. Right. They may have the shirt opened up like a bowl, and it's pudding sitting there, and I just come walking in, and I go, hey, what's going on? And I get the hand, you know, we're playing Fortnite, old man, back it off, and more pudding. And it's like... I was scared of everybody's parents straight on through, and I would never walk into their kitchen and open the pantry door and start helping myself to something.
Yeah. Your friend's dad coming home at the end of the day was like Dalton coming into the Double Deuce.
Yes.
He's like, oh my God, it's ass-kicking time. What have we done?
It was literally time to scatter.
Yeah.
It was essentially you walking into...
The fun was over. You had to leave.
The same reaction all the kids had would be like, if you, and I still want to do this, I got myself like a ATF windbreaker, and I walk into a bar in Alaska on a Wednesday at 4 p.m, and I just yell, federal marshal, and just watch everybody just start diving through windows and shoulder rolling. Yeah. And you're seeing the bar, bartender slowly starts slinking down, starts sinking down.
Like, the one confused Nordic guy's like, where'd everyone go?
Right.
Everyone else is out the door. The
one herring fisherman who's just there to have a beer wants to know where everyone's going. That would be the reaction, but it wouldn't be like, hey, I need that hat.
Yeah.
Why? I'm giving it to somebody else.
Never.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
You would have touched, if you even touch your dad's watch.
Yeah.
Like something like he put his watch on the nightstand and you decided to put his watch. Where's the watch? Who touched the watch?
Yeah.
I mean,
It was
crazy.
Like Misery when James Caan turned the penguin. It's like, oh, no, you're in for some trouble now.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened. I'd like to go back a little bit.
Not all the way.
Just not all the way. The one hat went to Jensen, and then the other hat was destroyed 2 days ago by Philly Cheesesteak, who... It's my fault, but the thing about Phil is he takes weeks off. Like, I take the hat off, I put on. Now, the thing about Phil is he's 6'9" when he gets on his hind legs. Like, yeah. he can get to the top shelf booze.
He's
like,
a
from
rim
his
protector.
He is. He'll go to the top of the countertop and not the low countertop, the bar. He'll pull stuff off the bar if he wants to get up there. So if you set your hat on top of the bar, he's still up there.
Yeah.
But he'll just let it go he's like Al Qaeda. You don't hear from him for years.
And he doesn't do that anymore.
All of a sudden there's a plane flying into a building. Yeah. Like that's, he completely destroyed my Joe Coy hat, but no better guy to give it to than me because, I was two things. I was at Road Atlanta a few weeks ago and I realized like every interview I did and every picture I took,
I was
just wearing my Joe Coy, doing full on interviews with Nissan and stuff like that. I was wearing my Joe Coy hat. And speaking of Road Atlanta, a weird tidbit of information. We just brought up Kim Basinger, and I was saying she owned a town or was a part owner in a town. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. And then she got sued and
lost a bunch of money.
The town was Brazelton or something close to Brazelton outside of Atlanta where I stayed. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, Road Atlanta's there, and so is the house I stayed in. Wow. So I stayed in Kim Basinger's house, which we just sort of randomly brought up. Oh. I never knew where it was. Somebody just tweeted me. I'll tell you, I want to thank MyBlue. Go to myblue.com. You can try their starter kit for just $1. LifeLock. We love LifeLock.com, and you can enter Adam, get 10% off, and Castrol as well. Tweet us your car questions at... Castrol, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Hey, Joe Coy.
Yes, sir.
Brag about what you're doing, because I love hearing how you're just tearing it up.
Oh, are you doing things?
Isn't that crazy? Australia sold out.
Australia sold out. Yeah. Brag.
Okay, so it was only supposed to be, like, I haven't been there since, like maybe 7-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was like, oh, can you go to Australia? Let's, he's never been in the market since then and blah, blah, blah. So they just did one city each, like one theater, one show. And now we're up to five theaters in each city.
No tickets sold, but five theaters.
No tickets. No tickets.
And multiple shows.
Yeah, man.
That's so awesome, man.
Five shows in Sydney alone.
You know, I love
Melbourne.
I love the meritocracy of stand-up. I love that if you're good and you get out there and you do it, you do it, they'll come see you. And I love that. And I talk to people all the time. They're like, oh, I saw Joe Coy. Oh, he was awesome. And look, if that wasn't the conversation, then you wouldn't be selling out continents.
But everywhere you go, you have to keep adding shows.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Added a show in Vegas. That's coming up.
I have.
It's just been nuts. Ontario. I did 17 straight shows. 17. I had to be there for 2 weeks.
You're a full resident.
Yeah.
I have something to lay out that Dr. Drew brought up when I was talking to him for a while yesterday. And you guys tell me what you think of this. It was interesting. So Dr. Drew had a very vivid dream about me.
Oh, I like that.
And he had that thing. I told you he's wired like a chick, but we all have that thing where, for example, you have a dream about, let's say, somebody you work with and they like you and it's a sex dream, or maybe it's not a sex dream, but they just like you. And then you wake up the next morning and you realize it was a dream. And then you head into work and you think, well, it was a dream. That person doesn't really like me like I had in my dream. But it's somewhere between that and what was. Like,
right.
They like me 20% more because of the dream.
They must.
There's a little percentage. Yeah. I moved the needle a little bit because I spent so much time dreaming they were in love with me last night. And now that I see them today, even though it defies logic,
I feel
differently. So Drew came in and Drew felt differently about
your
me.
Thoughts?
And he had a very vivid dream about me firing him.
Oh.
He was very upset about it, and he just kept talking about it, and he wouldn't stop talking about it. And
then spiritual.
He said, and here's the interesting thing, and then we stumbled on to this, and you guys tell me if this resonates with you, or it was a newer thought to me. He'd say to me, and Drew's always devil's advocate and, you know, a champion of the little man, and whatever I get into it with somebody or fire somebody or whatever, he never says, you're absolutely within your right. They had it coming. They should have known better. It's always like, well, how do you think they feel? You know, how do you think they feel? That's just what he does all the time. And this is my, like when we were at the Best Buy after doing the calendar signing, and we're standing in the aisle looking at mobile telephones. Not mobile phones, but just
cordless phones.
Cordless phones back in the day. And some little snot-nosed bitch came up to me, and she was 17, and she went, are you as big an asshole in real life as you are on the radio? And I just went, beat it! And she was like, it started to well up, and she ran away. And Drew's like, why did you? And I'm like, because she's a bitch, and she's 17. And she should learn,
story.
Don't go walking up to celebrities and being a cunt.
Yeah.
You're going to get yelled at. And I hope she takes it with her on her travels in her next job. But Drew, like, almost went running after her, like, trying to counsel her. And I was like, she drew first blood. But Drew's thing is like, yeah, but do you think the person really knew that you wanted? And I'm like, I've told them what I wanted 15 times. They've chosen to ignore it, and now they're fired. But here's Drew's theory. And it's going to dovetail into something that I've been saying, and now maybe we'll reach some place of clarity, which is this. I've been really drilling down and focusing on the language of losers. When I say to Dylan, you should have checked the date for the show, and he'll go, next time I'll triple check. I'll go, not triple check. Check it once. you didn't get to single or double.
Yeah.
You hopped ahead to triple.
Realistic goals.
And I said to Gary when he was producing the show once, I said, why didn't you tell me the guests had canceled or whatever? And he went, I was out of the loop. And I went, you're the producer. You're not out of the loop. You are the loop. Get in the loop. Don't tell me you're out of the loop. That's not what I want to hear. But I get it. So it's like a reactionary thing.
Yeah.
I've had people screw up everything and then go, I did all I could do. Or what did you want me to do? I literally said to someone at the other shop, here's what you should have done. Should have hung up at the trucking company. You should have called me and told them they were coming early. And they go, what did you want me to do?
I just told you
what I want you to do. But I realize it's a reaction. It's a reactionary thing. Many people have it,
yeah,
including kids. We hope to get past it, but it's a reaction. I did my best. I did all I could do. What do you, or one of my fan favorites is when they point out to you the time you did something similar to what it is you're talking about that they screwed up on. You were late that one time. Okay, great. I'm glad you've brought that up. Now let's get back to this. Okay, so it's a common thing. It happens all the time. I get it. What's happening is you're encroaching. You're saying sort of, why didn't you do this, or how come you did this? And what they're doing is they're defending and deflecting. They're saying, I did the best I could do. Stop pushing on me. Yeah. Like, it's a reaction. It doesn't really work in football, doesn't really work in the military, doesn't work in those situations. But okay, I get it's built in, and we're trying to sort of wean it off. People off it. But here's an interesting thing that Dr. Drew brought up, which made a lot of sense to me, which is those people that are just ensconced in that mode, they don't perceive the three strike rule. Meaning, when you say to them, hey, I need you to do this or stop doing that, their reaction is, don't look at me, it wasn't my fault, which means this conversation doesn't count
in terms
of the strike.
For them, it's crisis averted, and for everyone else, it's like, well, that guy fucked up.
So it's like saying, you know, three strikes. You broke into an elderly woman's apartment and stole her TV set, and then your argument was, I was trying to fix the bitch's TV set. I was going to return it later that night. And you go, okay. The next one was you jumped the guy who was walking his dog, and he took his wallet, and your answer is, I was going to make change for a 20 and put it back in his wallet, so I was doing him a favor. Now you snatched a small sack of Funyuns for the, from the 7-Eleven, and I go, third strike, you're going to prison. And they go, third strike?
For Funyuns?
I'm going to prison for stealing? And I'm like, no, you had the first strikes, mm-hmm. and now the third one, you're getting fired. But they didn't perceive the first two because they were pushing so hard or explaining that you were an asshole or explaining why you did this one time or how they didn't do it or how they did their best or how they triple checked or whatever it is they said they were doing. It never went down in their brain as strike one or strike two.
Window of negligence.
And now, that's fondaliers. And now, when you go strike three, you're out. They go, what?
For that?
First strike.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Right. It's interesting, right?
Yeah. Like I said, that person, you know, when they deflect or reabsorb or whatever it is, the, you know, the what do you want me to do? It's not, blah, blah. It's to them, it's, oh, I'm out of that one. Woo, thank God that went away.
Yeah, the
it's
slate
like,
is clean.
It didn't go away.
So they,
that's written in ink.
But they, in their mind, I think it's the boss is the cop or whoever's the cop.
Yeah, got out of that.
They show up and they go, you broke into this old lady's house and you stole her TV set. And they and you said, I'm her grandson. I do TV repair. She has some trouble with the horizontal stabilizer and I'm fixing it and returning it back. And in their mind, they just walk away with that. Like, right. Okay, mm-hmm. This does not count. And it wouldn't count. If that's what happened, and that's how the cop perceived it, but the cop, that's not mm-hmm. what happened, and the cop doesn't perceive it that way. He perceives it as strike one, you're stealing a TV set, which in fact you were.
Right.
You just spun it some different way.
Everyone should believe in their powers of persuasion a lot less.
Well, and that's what I've said in relationships and friendships and all kinds of things before, where if you lie about something, you didn't just get out of something, you just look like someone who did something wrong and is now a liar.
Right. You're guilty.
Totally. Yes. How do they
see
live
it
with
very
themselves?
Clearly. Yeah.
Do they not? They know that they got caught in a lie, right? Or do they just believe it?
They have to.
I'm going
to
file this under, I wasn't drunk. Please, this is your one window to escape here. Just please say you're drunk. Otherwise, this behavior you displayed
you
at the Christmas party is completely out of hand.
You should pray you're drunk.
Pray you're drunk. Or you have a tumor, or you have a personality disorder. I'm offering you drunk.
Yeah.
I'm taking drunk. Drunk is always a nice plea bargain. You're not getting out scot-free. You can get off with some time served and put on probation. That's what drunk is. Drunk
plea
is,
deal.
Is basically,
plea deal.
Here's your ankle bracelet. It's called drunk. Otherwise, you're going to be incarcerated. Take drunk and run with it.
Yeah.
I'm your lawyer.
Drunk
I'm the judge saying take
evidence.
Drunk.
Turning state's evidence.
Yes,
you're still going to do a little time.
It is your one opportunity. Look. It'll never be nothing because we're having this conversation, but I'm now offering drunk as a plea bargain.
But
take it.
Don't you think those people really start to believe their lies? They really believe it.
If they're a sociopath.
No. A lot more people do that than often. Like, you'll hear them even tell you the story, and they say it in such a way that, like, you can tell that they're trying to believe their own lie as well.
It's like, I don't believe it, but I believe that you believe it.
I don't even believe them. Like, even when they're saying it, I'm like, you're full of shit. You were drunk.
Right, but they're sticking to the story.
I had a drink or two, but I mean, not enough for me to get a ticket.
Dr. Bruce and Drew. His synopsis was, which I am sort of feeling, but I always say, Dr. Brew.
Hey, everyone, it's Dr. Brew. You guys like to drink brews? Well, I'm the guy for you. Just open one bottle or open two. Whatever's good for you, it's good for me and you, Dr. Brew.
That's good.
Dr. Brew.
Hey, my feeling,
I gotta go pee now. I'll be right back.
My feeling is, so what I'm saying to Dr. Drew Brew is, why don't these people perceive danger? I've said to so many people, this guy's hanging on by a thread, and he just told me to go F myself, and he doesn't know he's hanging by a thread, and the reason he doesn't know it is because in his mind, the last eight fuck-ups, he won that argument.
Right.
and it's expunged from his record.
Yeah, he's got a clean slate.
So it does. So
play a house of money.
So thus, then confused when you get fired, and I'm now. It's now in a weird way. You should have sympathy for these people because they clearly don't perceive what's going on. But it's why you shouldn't go down the language of the loser's road in the first place, if you can at all avoid it, kids.
So what did Drew do to get fired?
Yeah, what did he do?
Did he reveal his secret?
He, in his very vivid dream, I just told him, no mas. We cannot continue together.
This has gone on long enough.
It's far too long.
After 22 short years.
He was blindsided and dumbfounded and fit to be tied. I still don't know what that means.
Entire
I know what
streets.
It means, but I don't know what it means.
Adam,
I think
you,
it means you're nuts, right?
I can't win for losing when it comes to Drew.
Irregardless.
Did Drew say you said that to him in person or through an email?
Oh, I normally do work the email route. That is true.
Maybe it was a text.
A text. Was it a text?
Who dis?
Yeah, that would take too long. Yeah, January 2007. Drew,
do it.
I can't go on another day. Where's fit to be tied come in?
I'm pretty sure it means like you're tied down. Like, you're insane. You need to be
fit to be tied, like in a straitjacket or something.
More or less.
Okay.
Secure to the bed.
Makes sense to me.
You're hysterical. You're nuts.
There's two that always fit to be tied was tough because it's like a tie game and then there's tied down. And ends meet, I always thought meaning meat. Like when you're poor, you can't afford meat. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you
can't
make
that.
Ends meet. Like at the end of the day, he can't get meat.
Yeah.
No,
that was
so
like mince
make
meat.
Ends meet is like
no.
trying
ends
to pull.
Meat. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Not enough rope. You're trying to make those two get together. You don't have to tie.
Brian, you're absolutely right. It refers to a straitjacket.
Good.
I know idioms.
Yeah, that's good. Although I take half credit for the straitjacket because you got.
Right, I just said tied. You're right. It could have been any number of things to secure your arms to your body.
Well, no, tie you down to the railroad track. All right. We're going to do Mr. Brightside in 1 second with a sis from Joe Coy's mother.
Oh.
She's a very negative nurse. All right.
I'm not that negative.
Negative nursey. My Blue, I'll tell you about that. Vaping is huge now. No ash, no odor, no brainer. Blue. Who introduced vaping to the world is now introducing MyBlue. All the satisfaction, none of the hassle, just click and go. Easy to use, one-click liquid pods. Switch between flavors in seconds, wide range of flavors to choose from. Just 20 minutes to charge and you're set all day. I was just talking to Drew about this yesterday. Somebody was calling in and they were former smokers and now they're vaping. And Drew said, good for you. It's a hell of a lot better and lighten up that cigarette. And just a little water vapor. For a limited time, Blue is letting you try their new MyBlue Starter Kit for just $1. Comes with the free limited lifetime device warranty. But hurry, it will not last long. Try MyBlue today at MyBlue.com. That's MyBlue.com. All right, should we do a little Mr. Brightside with an assist from
Life
Jones'
got you
mom?
Down.
Yes.
Can't catch a break? Thinking about ending it all? Well, don't. Let Adam turn your frown upside down. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
So listeners will call us with their tales of woe, and Adam, you know, being the upbeat, positive guy.
I'll try, but then there's Joe's mom.
There's always me to assist you.
Yes. Eddie, 40, Anaheim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
We're good. How are you?
Hopefully Joe's mom can give me a little some advice because that actually kind of partially involves my mom. I just got back from a trip south of the border, visited some family, only to find out that like half my family is out of work, and they're all kind of looking at me like, hey, man, you live up there. Maybe you can help us out. And then in the meantime, my mom tells me that she's been helping out someone on her own money-wise from work, and basically someone kind of taking advantage of the elderly, I guess, if you will, because she's 75, and she tells me that she's loaned $2,000 to some coworker, and in the meantime, I'm paying for her insurance and her car payment, and I get back from my trip and find out that my dog's just kind of crapping, you know, in the house, at the office,
And so now he's sick, and God only knows what's wrong with him.
Well, hold on, Eddie. Hold on.
There's a lot of problems.
A lot of problems here, but hold
just
on.
Just one at a time.
You said you made a trip south of the border?
Yeah, well.
Where'd you go?
I went down to Guatemala.
Oh, that's deep.
And,
a lot of boys.
Yeah, that's pretty far down.
Families in Guatemala?
Yeah, so half my family lives down there, and I hadn't seen them in 27 years, and my mom was the one that put the kind
All
of
right,
guilt
well,
trip
let me spin this. If half your family's in Guatemala and half of them are working, that's pretty good by Guatemalan standards. Yeah. You know, you're at 50%. That's like
that's above the...
That's MLB type of numbers.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
500.
That's first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's a guaranteed $100 million contract.
Yeah,
right there.
I mean, I've
Ichiro shit.
Yeah,
that's Ichiro. That comes with a foot massage.
I don't know
game.
how employed most of Guatemala is, but from what I hear about Guatemala, 51 out of every two family members is got a gig.
And his family's taking up all the jobs out there. No wonder no one can work.
Yeah, so you're...
he's got a billboard in Guatemala. Just says Eddie.
You're partly gainfully employed over there in Guatemala. What business are they in?
Well, that's the thing. They're either in making ID cards, so basically laminating ID cards. Obviously not a lot of money with that. And then a part-time architectural design, one of my other cousins. And the thing is, we're talking about people that are like, you know, in their late 40s and even 60 years old. And I'm thinking, Jesus, they've got grandkids, and they're asking me for gas money to take them to, you know, a small family reunion. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought about you, Adam. I thought, how? You know, how did they get there? And then the fact that they're looking at me like, hey, man, can you help us out?
Well, hold on. Joy's mom may disagree.
It's Joe Coy.
Joe Coy's mom may
You're
disagree,
a real
but
asshole,
I will
first
say
of
this.
All.
They're looking up to you asking what you can do.
Mm.
You're not the one looking up to them asking for their pity living in your squalor. So just by the actual relationship you're having, it's sort of like saying, oh, I'm so burdened by these panhandlers constantly asking me for my riches. See, yes, it is pathetic and true. These are family members, but at least you're not the one looking up to them.
You're in the one-up position.
Telling them, oh, the transmission broke on the truck and I just need enough money to for bus fare. So you are the beacon on the top of the pile of dung that is Guatemala. So look at that. Think of it that way, Eddie. Yes?
I never did think about it that
yes.
way.
Yes, you're a shining beacon on a pile of Guatemalan dung. And I don't know what laminating pays these days.
Not much.
The lucrative world of laminating?
Fast pace, lucrative world of laminating.
Are you a laminator or just look like one?
I don't think people wake up in Guatemala going, oh, shit, I need an ID.
My laminating ID. I mean to replace that.
Well, yeah. Or they don't. They probably don't go, hey, who put their coffee mug on my unlaminated ID again?
Should have learned my lesson 3 IDs ago.
Damn it!
3 unlaminated coffee stained IDs ago.
Why would you unlaminate it? It's more official.
So you can cut coke. Laminate IDs to cut
Social
coke
Security
and draw
cards
line.
Are still not unlaminated. Oh,
no,
it's illegally
not.
Unlaminated.
When its printer wouldn't work.
Eddie, right. Are these semi-legal? Is this like ISIS, like, you know, getting some
Brian,
IDs?
Please.
Well, I'm saying, who is needs...
This, does
who,
your family work for ISIS?
No.
Okay.
By the way,
wait a minute.
I just came up with a SNL skit called Guatemalan Architect. Now listen, we need unreinforced concrete over here, and we need some more unreinforced concrete over there.
Yes. You got it, boss.
If there's a 3.2, I want to see rubble, people.
Yeah,
living in the streets,
like the last one we built.
Open sewer everywhere.
Hell yeah!
That's what I want.
Yes,
gotta
we
keep
can.
Keep the smelling down.
Yes, we can.
See, see,
all right.
We can.
No shear walling.
Done.
No.
No moments.
Hell no.
No shear anchors.
What's that?
No tension anchors.
Huh?
No all thread. No Tico clips.
No.
No hold downs. No Simpson straps. I want unreinforced concrete block everywhere.
Yeah. I have one suggestion.
A mosquito farts in this town. I want it leveled.
Yeah, I have one suggestion.
I want FEMA and HUD coming. coming in here.
God damn it, I have my suggestion.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's paint it so it looks new.
Huh?
Paint it.
Oh.
Paint it.
And by the way.
Colors like pink or white.
Primary. Yeah. I want this goddamn shit painted like a drag boat.
Done.
I don't care if it's a library or funeral home.
Who gives a shit?
I want electric blue and day glow orange and day glow green.
I want to put a small Mexican family on the side of the building.
Now listen. I just finished designing.
In Guatemala.
I just finished designing your butcher shop.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, you don't have to do it, but what I would suggest, take Mr. Pig, paint him wearing a bow tie and a top hat, have him with an axe in his hand, and he's chasing Mrs. Chicken.
Yes!
She's wearing a skirt. Okay, that's the way you get people in the door.
To come into the door!
Into the door.
Ah, brilliant, sir!
Eddie, you're doing great, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you definitely, I think the whole beacon on the pile of dung thing it actually brightened my day the most.
That's man. You, man.
Eddie, yeah. Eddie.
At least I'm on top.
You're on top.
Eddie, my son's school ID needs some lamination. Know where I can go.
Do they do international work?
Send it to my cousin in Guatemala.
I think love
he can do it as long as his printer is working. That was the other thing. His printer goes down, and he's bitching about that because he's not going to be able to make the $30 that he was going to go ahead and make for the day.
That's tough.
And I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me.
Hey, man. Eddie, this is Joko Smader.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you? It's so good to hear how well up you're doing. Congratulations for you. You know, your family in Guatemala don't have any money.
I know. What should I do?
Maybe send them $30, you selfish son of a bitch.
Thank you.
It's $30!
Hey, Eddie, tell your family I've been down to Elysian Park, and they do wonderful work on those IDs. Is that what we get them out here?
Yeah. Six in Alvarado.
Yep.
Yeah, they're doing some real top end.
Works at all the best college bars.
All right, let's see. Pat from Omaha.
Oh, poor Pat.
Poor Pat. I don't know what happened to him. Pat, 59, Omaha.
Yeah. Hey, hi, Adam. Hi, guys. And Joe, beautiful. I listen to your podcast, and it's a blast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Agreed.
Sure thing. Okay, doing Mr. Brightside. I wanted to tell you about something I'm doing this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have ever really talked much about this, but I'm into amateur radio, which is ham radio, and I'm going to a convention in the Dayton area, and that every year draws about 20,000 people, fellow ham radio operators, and so...
Hold on a second. You know how hookers work conventions?
Yeah.
And I imagine, like, when the Super Bowl's in Miami, that's when all high-end hookers go out there, the $2,500 a night gals that head over there.
They'll make the pilgrimage.
Imagine the prostitutes that hit the ham radio convention in Dayton.
Oh, man.
Like, imagine what we're talking about there. Like, a lot of folks flying Southwest and asking for the Adelie for the seatbelt, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're that nerd.
Imagine the hook. Now, look, I get it. By law, hookers must hit conventions.
Yeah. Right. You want to make a buck.
You don't leave money on the table.
But imagine the ones that have to hit the ham radio convention in Dayton.
Do you think they recognize each other, too? Like, oh, my God, I saw you at the Caterpillar convention with all the cranes and stuff.
I think there's a lot of, no, I don't take Bitcoin.
Well, you know, ham radio operators are kind of picky people, too. So, you know, they better be good.
Of course.
Sure. Right.
Everyone knows that.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, the ham radio guys, I'm not much of a ordnance dude, but the thing where you want to essentially... I've seen a few guys who have the ham radio in the... Not in my neighborhood, but in the past.
Yeah.
You essentially... Here's what you do to your neighbors. Nobody who has acreage is into ham radio. It's like no one says, I have a sprawling estate, and I'll put the antenna up next to the amphitheater.
In the West Wing.
And before the atrium and the Dove Garden. They don't do that. They have tiny little backyards. And then they essentially erect something which is tantamount to the thing that the guy would use to go off of the high dive when they would do one of those things at Busch Gardens or something, where it's like, that guy's going to jump 120 feet into this pool of water we put here, and they just that thin aluminum thing, that ladder to the heavens, and there's cables, like stabilizing cables going all different directions. Could you imagine living next to this person? With this,
I've heard stories about guys that have done high dives off of their ham radio tower, not on purpose.
God.
Wow.
Nerds!
So who are you talking to? How far away are they? What's your handle?
Oh, well, I can't really let you know what my call sign is, because that will really identify me, because anybody could look me up on Google and find out my address and all that stuff, because it's a federally issued license. So that's something that, you know, it's public knowledge. But
is it Bilbo or Frodo?
But yes. The reason I'm calling is, well, they've got a flea market there, and it's on the... it's on the infield of a horse, like a harness racing track.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I went, and it's like a green area, right? Except people were driving in that area, and it's kind of a low spot, and there was rain, and it got muddy. I mean, I couldn't even walk in there. It was so muddy. People were getting stuck in their cars. These people that had flea market tables wanted to be in there, but it is crazy. And unfortunately, this year I'm going again, which is this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been watching the forecast. Guess what? Rain.
Mm. There's so a couple things, Matt.
Again,
I'd like you to do. I'd like to introduce you to the couple who just realized that their 9-year-old was diagnosed with lymphoma. Mm.
And same then level
you
of
go, I understand heartache because we're having this thing in Muncie.
Some drizzle.
They're doing a flea market, and there's inclement weather coming in, and
fucking mud is horrible.
Yeah, it's grass, but it does get saturated pretty quickly.
Do you ever get your shoes stuck in a mud?
So inconvenient.
Oh, wait, Joe, believe me, I've got mud on my boots from last year that I still haven't been able to clean out.
That's just part of what I want you to tell the couple.
Yeah, man.
After they're done boring you with their lymphoma discussion. And what is your... Pat, what is your sign off? Can you give us your sign off?
My sign off? Well, 73s. Have a good day.
That's good.
There you go. 73. That's good wishes. 73.
Oh, okay. I thought it was when a fat guy tried a 69 with a chubby prostitute. That he met at a ham radio convention.
No, if I signed up with 69, people would think there's something different, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We don't want that.
Hey, baby, do you 73?
I want to do it. I want to do a TV show called How Pissed Is Your Wife? And, you know, I'm going to put the drag boat guys on there and the tractor pull guys. I may include
some
of the ham radio.
There's a different direction you can go here, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. My wife is a ham radio operator, too, and she's coming with me.
Of course.
Oh,
match made in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
This is true love.
This is good.
Now, that's Mr. Brightside. Let's see if you can come up with something for that.
Here's my Mr. Brightside for you and your ham radio. I have learned from watching many sort of Armageddon-y end of days. The aliens have come down. They're going to be our new overlords. Mm-hmm. They've disrupted our grid. Mm-hmm. The only thing that works anymore are you guys, the ham old radio school. Guys, the old school guys. You are our savior. Ooh. When this.
Well, let me tell you something, Adam. About that is every time one of those comes up, there are sticklers that look at that, watch that, and they think they didn't do that right at all. They get all pissed about it.
Like a doctor.
Give me a break.
I hate that person.
Like a car guy watching.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's everywhere. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's always
like
that guy.
The physics professor that came up with the problem with the star field on Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Pat's in the back of his arm across going, fake.
Yeah.
So fake.
Yeah, exactly.
So dumb.
All right. So, Pat, again, that's my bright side. There's going to be some mud in Indiana. Thankfully.
In Ohio.
Jaden. How? What size fanny pack is your wife rocking?
Okay.
What would it fit around?
Yeah. Well, she's going to bring her messenger bag, and I've got my backpack. Yes. You can't carry your gear around with you. The stuff that you buy, the amplifiers or the power supplies or anything like that, you can't carry those with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you got to have a place to put them.
Who do you talk to? Do you got a ham buddy who's like in Nova Scotia or something?
Ham bro?
I've talked to people in other countries. I don't really have a lot of close friends in other countries, but I got friends in California. Uh-huh. I got a guy that lives north of you guys in Healdsburg. Mm-hmm. He's not far from the ocean.
Pat.
White country, exactly.
Pat, I bet you the merch booth does it killing out there.
Yeah. They move some merch.
You know how many hemorrhoid pillows they move? Those hemorrhoid cushions, you know, the donuts? That is the biggest, hottest seller. Put your logo on a hemorrhoid cushion.
You know how many hats they move? How many hats they move? They have to put their call sign on their hat.
A lot of hats.
They put their ham radio call sign on their hat.
Ill-fitting hats.
Hey, Pat,
Hold on.
I'm interested in ham radio protocol.
Okay.
Is it on? Like, okay, you have a cell phone. Your cell phone rings. That means a friend of yours wants to talk, or somebody wants to get hold of you. Your ham radio. Do you have to be sitting at it? Can it just be on in general, and you can be making your way throughout the house with a speaker or something? You hear somebody's calling.
It's hooked up your Sonos.
Calling you out. Like, how does that work?
Well, you could do that. A lot of people actually have a Bluetooth system where they've got Bluetooth audio for microphone and listen as they're walking around the house. But the problem with that, though, is you have to be tuned to a certain frequency that you want to listen to. And usually, if you want to talk to somebody, you just make a general call.
True or false? Has anybody ever used a ham radio to communicate with family members? I don't feel like anyone wants to talk to their dad or their mom who's three towns over via a ham radio. Sure. And if you
well,
ever
there's that one movie where the guy talked to his dead dad.
Has that ever happened to you? Is your dad dead?
No.
That'd be awesome if it happened.
A lot of hams have sons that they get into the hobby, and so the two of them, you know, maybe live in different states, and they will get they'll do what they call a schedule.
Yeah.
They'll get on the radio at a certain
time. Hold on a second. By the way, in terms of the father and the son and passing along this hobby and passion of ham radio, their first love, father and son? Not being blown. Second,
it's more of a passion, but
ham radio. But that's the first they bonded first over not right. being yeah. blown.
Never
and
had
while sitting
one.
Around
never
and lamenting about never being blown, the whole ham radio
never
came
had
into,
it. Never will. That's me.
I got
73.
Okay, I got one more thing. I got one more thing for you guys before I go.
What's that?
Yeah.
Have Brian look at hamsexy.com. Hamsexy.com. You'll see some pictures of some weird, weird people. I'm telling you.
One second.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
My feeling with the ham radio is I wouldn't want to talk to other folks on terra firma. I'd want to go to the ships at sea. Yeah. Can you talk to ships at sea?
They've been out in sea for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, the first system that came online on the International Space Station was their ham radio station that they used for backup communications. And so a lot of hams have had a chance to talk to the astronauts that are on the International Space Station.
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to talk to all the ships at sea. And every once in a while, If the wind was blowing just right, you get hold of a Somali pirate.
Oh, yeah.
That took over an oil tanker. Right. That'd be a fun conversation.
I am the captain now.
Yes. Thank you.
Pat, call anytime.
Call anytime. Joe Coy.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing I can say about Pat. There's no bright side. He needs no bright side. He's
better?
That's the life of Riley.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Brightside.
All right, I want to tell you about LifeLock. Over 1 million children were victims of identity fraud in 2017. Most common perp was a family friend. So sad. Family friends ripping off your kid's identity. With no financial history, kids are susceptible to new account fraud, and they won't know until years later when they apply for a card or a loan. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in, and then that's it. They get their foot in, steal your identity, can't unring that bell, and good luck fixing it. And then your kid gets the credit screwed up going for a credit card or a school loan or what have you, trying to buy a used car off a car lot, and then boom, bad credit. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats against your identity and stuff you can't see and stuff you can't fix, but they can fix it. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't. They're the best. They're LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an additional 10% off.
Michael Keaton gave a blowhardy commencement. address.
Yeah, all commencement speeches are blowhardy by nature, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just by nature, you're sending them off into the world with all your worldly advice.
It's supposed to be epic.
I imagine the down to earth, commencement speech are dwarfed by the grandiose.
Sometimes it'll be fun. Sometimes it'll be hard.
There's a probably one that someone like Pat Tillman could have delivered I wouldn't think of blowhardy, although they are all by nature. You're talking about yourself. You're talking about your experience and all that kind of stuff. This is Kent State, but the kids knowing it all. I'm getting tired of that refrain. I've kind of said when I was in front of Congress, I said kids are the future, but we're the present, and they should basically do what the fuck we tell them to do. Like that's the whole thing. They're the future. Well, it's like you get some 18-year-old hot prospect in the farm leagues of the New York Yankees, and that's great. One day he's going to come up to the big leagues and hopefully contribute. But let's not ask him how to manage the team right now. He'll be here one day. Right now we're managing the team. And the notion that they know something that we don't know. No. Now, politicians have figured out that every one of these 16, 17, and 18-year-olds is either voting or going to be voting real soon, so start kissing their ass. I haven't heard a lot of ass-kissing of old people. Have you? No. I've not heard a politician go, hey, a lot of these people, they got problems with their dentures, they got problems with their diapers,
You guys
hear,
the immediate future, like today, maybe tomorrow, possibly the next day.
Well, just think about young people and think about old people. They're both here. They're both affected by policy. 99.9 of politicians direct it all toward the kids. I haven't heard jack squat about grandpa. Mm-hmm. Grandpa has a lot of problems too, because Medicaid or Social Security or whatever's not working out for Nana and Grandpa too. Never hear anything about them because politicians figured they're going to be dead in 3 years. We're focused on these guys. But Keaton gave it was a little blowhardy. I'll play you a couple of he was a student at Kent State, I guess. You keep writing Kent, but I'm guessing that's Kent State, or is there,
I think they changed the name.
They just changed it to Kent.
Yeah. Well, Kent State, Kent, Ohio.
Just put Kent State, and I'll tell you why.
After
because
the shooting, there's
a PR problem.
There's 1,000 colleges that have like the same name. I found out.
Ohio State. Yeah.
Kent State, after the shooting in from 71, 69, 70, 4 dead in Ohio. Yeah. They change it after that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I always thought it was just called Kent State.
Me too.
It was, and then because of obviously a very unfortunate public consciousness association.
So in 1971, they changed it
to
Kent.
I don't know what year it was, but it was after the shooting. It could have been 75. It could have been 77, 80.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. Look into that. So no one caught on because everyone still just calls it Kent State, I guess, except for Chris.
There's a total chance I'm wrong, but I very strongly remember hearing that.
I've never heard that.
I still hear Kent State.
All right. Well, let's listen to him blow hard.
And I've got a friend named John Mayer, who's a really good guy and a monster guitar player and a damn good writer. And he's got this song called Waiting for the World to Change. I hate that song. Because I'm looking out at you and your generation and your little brothers and your little sisters and those kids down in Parkland, Florida, and I'm thinking to myself, they ain't waiting for anybody. Don't you wait for anyone. You are the world.
Yeah.
You are the change.
Oh. Yeah. How are you going to get
anyone? Had chalk mouth for sure. His tongue was sticking to the roof of his mouth.
I felt like he was doing some blow backstage, but how is it?
It's a very pleasant song.
I hate this song.
It's a throwback song.
I was Batman, damn it! Everyone would never listen to this! Everyone can't walk out feeling like they're the world. That's trouble. It's kind of the opposite of a society. It's the inverse of a society. Society is it's all about winning the next war, and who's going to be that first wave to get off the Higgins landing craft and throw themselves at the German pillboxes? Well, not me. I am the world.
Right.
You couldn't let anything happen to the golden child on the world. And who's going to make that burrito, and who's going to bring it to the table?
The world doesn't make burritos. No. Excuse
me. Who? By the way, we both show up at the same parking space at the same time at a crowded Costco on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, it is the world, so guess I'm the world.
I have the right of the world.
Guess whose goddamn spot that is?
Me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my basketball name to World Be Mine.
World Be Me.
Yeah, World Be Me.
Because there was a World Be Free.
There was a World Be Free. That's right.
There was a World Be Free.
It's still called Kent State, according to...
Okay.
Yeah, so I wrote Kent because you said Kent State already, and I'm just writing shorthand.
Chris, stop deflecting.
There's just too many. There's too many goddamn. When I ask people what college they went to, 40% of the time they name a college I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Or look no further than the basketball tournament every year when there's nine colleges that I didn't even know were colleges. Like this year, there was that little. Whatever school that beat out the number
the
one
Cinderella
seed,
story.
The Cinderella seed, I'd never heard of that. Whatever, Oswego County or whatever, I didn't know what the hell that school was.
Hey, speaking of that, I just saw an article, I think it was on Yahoo, of the most expensive college per state. Guess which one ours was, and I wasn't familiar with this school.
What?
Harvey Mudd, I believe, in Claremont, California.
Really?
I don't know it. It's apparently the most expensive tuition in all of California.
Isn't that one of the... Pomona, Oxon
I don't know.
Hill, isn't it all
I was expecting to see Stanford
I know
or
from the gay bars is a drink, right. Which is vermouth, and then the bartender shits in the goblet and he gives it to you. It's called Harvey Mudd. Have you guys ever had that?
I don't think I've had
it's
one,
mostly
Joe. Have you?
It's mostly.
Did you just come up with this? Like off the top of your head? This is amazing.
No, I think he drinks it right
now. I have it.
Yeah, you've had this?
Yeah, have you been to the Abbey?
I've been to the Abbey.
You've not ordered a Harvey Mudd?
I've heard about it.
It's kind of. All right, maybe
it's
I shouldn't be saying about
texture.
This, but it's
only
like
drink with texture.
It's like when you go to In-N-Out, you go, give me the like. It's not on the menu.
No, the secret menu.
And sometimes the bartender just not feeling it. You know what I mean? It's like it's an in-season thing. You know what I mean? Like when
it's
you ask for
drink.
Something,
it's like eggnog.
Frowned upon with the health department.
But it's vermouth.
It can bring the rating down.
Yeah. And he just defecates in a tumbler vermouth. It's mostly vermouth.
Yeah. But my mouth is watering.
I know it
right
sounds
now.
Weird. It's not as weird. If you're there, it wouldn't feel weird.
When in
is
Rome.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Again, if you go down the
it's
Abbey.
It's the kind of drink you get when you're hungry as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's a meal.
Meal. It's more of a meal than a drink.
It's more
can
stew than soup.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Don't bring a spoon. Bring a fork.
Bring a fork.
Yeah. So, and next time we're down at the Abbey, just
does this vermouth have corn in it? Weird. Weird.
Oh, I get it. Now you're making a joke.
Now you're being disgusting.
Now you're being weird.
I'm very offensive. Okay.
I was just trying to be funny.
Well,
all right. But if everyone goes down there and orders it, then it's going to kind of be ruined for the insider. So please. Just forget
I won't see where I heard this from. How's that?
Yeah, it's good. Now, what you don't want to get is a Harvey Mudd banger, because for that you have to go to the bathroom.
And there's no vermouth.
There's no vermouth.
No vermouth.
And it is I promise you, a completely different experience,
not
enjoyable. Okay,
especially if it's your first time.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So do not order the Harvey Mudd banger. Okay. Whatever you do. Where were we? Oh, do we have another? Is that the only Keaton?
I'm sorry, Adam. Yes. Where's this bar again?
Oh, the Abbey.
The Abbey. Get that done.
It's down in
Robertson
Santa Monica.
And Santa Monica.
Got it.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's next.
What time is this show done?
It's next to Barney's Beanery.
Now I know where we're at.
You know what's funny?
What?
The Abbey is not a particularly gay name for a bar.
Mm-mm.
One could argue that Barney's Beanery is sort of the ultimate name for a gay bar.
Yeah.
And yet Barney's Beanery is the straightest bar on the planet. That's the place where like Jim Morrison goes to just get drunk with roadies in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like,
rock and roll like, sports bar.
It's it's ironic that the Abbey is a gay bar and that Barney's Beanery is not only not a gay bar, it is the straightest bar on the planet.
Yeah.
Barney's Beanery.
Barney's Beanery.
Up the street from the Abbey.
In the heart of Boys Town.
In the heart of Boys Town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abbey.
Where was
Abbey.
I? Now, how far down from Barney's Beanery is the Abbey? And don't pretend you have to look it up, Chris.
I mean, I don't know.
131 paces. Now, if I'm moving at a good clip,
as the crow flies.
If I've broken into a full jog, it's only 81.
It's more of a prince. It's more of a mince.
Yeah, if I'm in a full mince, I can do it under 100 steps.
That's it's not right. A 6-minute walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy.
I apologize for the Kent State thing. I really, really thought that I'd heard that.
It's, okay. It's a Mandela effect.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah. You want us to cut it out?
Yeah,
Castrol Edge. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. The Adam Carolla Show loves us some Castrol Edge, and you can shoot us a tweet, and we'll answer your questions. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times, fool.
Stronger
against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. You got a question, Max Pata?
Sure. This comes from Sean on Twitter. Hashtag Castrol Challenge. What are your thoughts on start-stop ignitions? I was just wondering about the long-term impact and what you think of it. He just got a VW gas-powered engine. And
drives me nuts.
All the new cars have them.
I am now going to make a note to go pull the chip on my Jag because the worst is when it just happened to me yesterday. I was like pulling up to someone and then somebody's like pulling out. And I was doing like, you go, and I was going to put it in reverse, but it stopped.
Oh.
And I was scared to like shift gears or do the thing. I researched the start-stop engines. Now, to guys like me, it's like, aren't you going to wear your starter out? Blah, blah, blah. I hate this answer, but I think they know what they're doing. It saves a fairly significant amount of fuel. You'd think, oh, look, what do you save, a half gallon a year? So what? It's not worth the hassle. It adds up to something. The amount of confusion and the whatever, for me, it falls under the heading of have the start-stop, simply have a button that I can push that's on the console that will disable it. Yeah. My car has a button, but it never shuts it off. It doesn't really work. It resets when you get in the car again.
Yeah, Christie's, you can't toggle it off, but mine, you can. It has a little button that you can just disable it.
But then the following day, when back in the car.
Every time you start the car.
Right. I'm just saying, have it and allow me to get rid of it. Yeah. Now, you can't have a button that says, we'll get rid of the chime when your seatbelt's not on because that's an insurance safety, whatever issue. This is about saving fuel. I would happily pay an extra $41 a year in fuel and not have this thing going on and off constantly. Thank you. Okay.
Agreed.
But I do believe, and I've done it in another car, I do believe that if you open the fuse box, get yourself some needle nose pliers and pull a fuse, you can disable it.
And the dealership will take it back, no problem.
Put it back in before you turn it back in.
It's not like you're clipping it.
Let's just pull the fuse. Mm-hmm. All right. Joe Coy, everybody. Where the hell are we? Dates and times and hats.
Find him in Australia for the next month.
Show joy. 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 Did you see me being interviewed at Road Atlanta in your hat?
Can I put that out?
Go ahead. Put it out. I don't know if anyone ever knew what I was.
I'll make sure to say it in the caption. How's that?
Joe Coy live from Seattle. It's available on Netflix as we speak. And, of course, the podcast, The Coy Pod as well. Podcast One and Apple Podcast. We will take ourselves a break. We'll do good sports. And Cody Walker will be... Paul Walker's younger brother, Cody's going to be in here. We'll talk all about his event right after this.
See the Adam Carolla Show like never before in 360-degree virtual reality. Visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR to download the sold-out show at Esports Arena in Santa Ana with guest Real Housewife of Orange County, Heather Dubrow.
You women, you do a lot of complaining with all the Me Too movement, all this stuff.
A lot of complaining.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You pay less for your auto insurance.
There's a bonus.
You live 7 years longer.
Right.
And
the crappy ones at the end.
When the Guatemalan lady kicks the door open on your bathroom, we can all pretend you were taking a piss.
Plus, Gina, Bald Brian, and a sold-out Orange County crowd. Again, visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR and get it on in virtual reality. More info at adamcarolla.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good sport.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad Stallone movies.
Raking the fruits of the year.
Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, I was talking with Gary, the producer behind the glass, before we got going, and I, you know, he's married now, and he's you know, he's going through the struggles of when there are attractive women around in the workplace, socially or otherwise. Like, you know, it's a non-starter for him because he's a good fella. And he has to. I don't want to embarrass Gary, but Gary, true or false? True. It's not my way. I don't like to embarrass people. I don't like to point at things that people do that seem weird, and then talk about them. So, but I'm going to break that and just to get Ace's opinion
right.
on this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reasonably attractive woman around these parts, and you said I didn't solicit you. To say this, I said, "Oh, I said, who's all that's so and so." Oh, all right, yeah, she's been pretty flirty, been pretty flirty all day. And I said, "What do you mean? You were flirting with her?" No, she was flirty. I said, "Oh, just that's her way." No, with me, he said, with me. He claimed that she was flirty with him, and then that begged the question. Of course, wait, Gary, are you considered to be a handsome guy? And that then begs the question, Ace, is Gary handsome?
Awesome. Without being attractive, yes. I want to qualify. He's technically handsome. Like if we had a template, and we like they use in NASCAR, you know, he would pass.
Do you think you're good, Ace? Because I think a lot of people, there are things, it's like parallel parking.
That was a compliment, Gary. I hope you take it.
That was nice.
Which it was intended.
It was very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I always say the much more important thing. We've discussed the fact.
By the way,
college
can I say this?
Nonsense.
Let me say this quickly. When I'm thinking of the good looking girl who was here earlier. When you're good looking and you're friendly, then you're flirty. And when you're fat and unattractive and you're friendly, then you won't shut your mouth. Fat bitch never stops yammering. Don't go over there. She'll corner you and start talking your ass off.
And then the other side is, she must be into me, you know, is a good look. Gary decided that somebody who was being a human being in a place of business talking to him equaled her flirting with him.
No, I will say this in Gary's,
so when,
I will say this in Gary's defense.
How long will we be in with Ace? Like, ooh, she's into me.
Some women have a default setting, which they learned. At a very young age, everyone does the like, oh, as society, we teach them. We don't teach them. They figure out really quick. They're attractive. And if they speak to people in a certain way, that makes that person just think they have some sort of Snowball's chance in hell of betting them or going out with them, that the results in life are better.
Which, by the way, is 100% what's happening. This is just a good-looking girl who, that is her affect with people because she's discovered.
That's not what you were saying before the show started.
No, you're telling tales.
What did I misrepresent from our dialogue, Gary?
I said that my interactions with her, that was how I felt.
You said my interactions, Dave, were such that...
No, I didn't observe her.
She was pretty flirty, is what you said. Right. But that isn't the way it happened?
It's more...
Right, Jack. I didn't see your interaction
with anyone
else.
I didn't say you were engaging her in that. I defended her.
I wasn't saying it was specific to me. I was just saying that's the way that she...
See, this is not an attractive quality, Gary.
Thank you.
A little half sniff there to punctuate it. Well, what I wanted to know is...
It was a single nostril sniff. That wasn't a full sniff. That was just a single.
That's how you can control it to that degree. Mm-hmm. Well done, yeah. You're a pro with that.
It wasn't a dual nostril worthy statement. You know what I mean? It was a single.
Self-validating via nostrils and such. I don't know that you have an equal, Ace.
Thank you.
But do you think, I always say, we've talked about the fact, college is hokum. And I think in 2018, everybody's onto it. You could basically, unless you're trying to go to med school, law school, or a handful of other careers, very few times is anybody actually going to ever check whether or not you went to Yale. You could pretty much claim it. No one would ever know.
I've said, you know, my new thing now is, you know, for the kids, you guys, not yet. But later on, so I don't have to pay for college. It's not a waste of time anyway. You guys just went to Amherst.
I was just going to say, that's the key.
Lord Jeff is the name of the whatever. And, they totally redid the quad. I went there recently. Like, I get to say something like that. That'd be fine. And then...
That's a great... One tidbit of news from the school that you can invoke if questioned.
I'm doing the adult version of that, which is, I'm very into scouting. I'm very involved. With scouting. That's my adult version of a college. That guy must be better than me. He's very involved with scouting. Probably has more discipline. Probably his kids more involved with his kids.
Good for him.
Building like one of those soapbox derby races in the garage.
Society could use a lot more Adam Carolla.
No follow-up questions to Amherst. No follow-up questions to very involved with scouting.
You're right. The key is, so if you're on the West Coast, choose a liberal arts college up in the Northeast somewhere, New England, somewhere like that, with a low head count among students. And yeah, like Colby would be a good one. Yeah, well, nice. Colby. Also, see if you can find a building that they've a dorm that maybe they leveled to build a newer one in, and say that's where you lived, because then I lived in Davidson, but they dropped that. I think they rebuilt it and put a gymnasium over it or something like that.
Right,
those are some good. Done. But I think also that so much more important than what college you put on your resume is what you put on your life resume. You know, like I always say, I'm a great urban walker. I'm the best. I can go city blocks. In my 20s, I would be able to walk from my front door to Wrigley Field in 15 minutes without ever breaking stride. Busy ball game day, cars everywhere, pedestrians all over the place. No matter to Damashek, I could make a beeline. The thing I do best in the world, better than anyone I've ever known, is order food at a restaurant. I've never known any, but now you receive oral better than anyone.
True.
You've said before.
Yeah.
But mine is that no one can order food. I mean, every time, if I'm in a restaurant with people, whatever it looks like Dave wins again. He got the best. Can I have a taste, Dave? No, you can't. Mm-hmm. You should just order what I order. Let me order first and follow my lead is what you should
do. Remember, it was such a science for Dave that when we used to go out on occasion to the Denny's across the street or the IHOP.
Ah, you remember this.
For the morning show.
That's right.
And he wanted to order the Migos.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know what that was, tortilla and egg scramble or something.
It was like chopped up tortilla. It was an egg. Don't say it too loudly because it's not on the menu.
He literally had a hand signal.
That's right.
For the waitress.
Because it was off menu.
I think it was three fingers to the upper arm.
So I just gave him the M. I dropped the M for him.
Dropped the M.
I'm giving you the three side of the M there.
So literally did not have to verbalize his order.
But it was the best thing on the menu or off. of all the things you could get there. That's right.
That was a like a SEAL Team 6 leader kind of move with you, just pointing at your eyes, pointing at the eggs,
I mean,
tapping
my deeds.
On the hand.
Anybody who worked at a certain time at Jimmy Kimmel Live recalls that I was the original food dude. I got to choose what we ate each and every day for one solid year. Remember that? I would order the lunches, Ace. That was a great responsibility that that I took very seriously. But I also think that
I brought in and paid for Hungarian one time.
That's
and
right.
It was roundly criticized by Kimmel as a very selfish move on my part.
Why?
I look, it's a sore subject. I don't want to get into it. We've agreed to disagree. Well, meaning I wanted Hungarian food, but
oh,
I think it's like I'm still a hero because you guys are eating no kettle and goulash and I paid for it.
I think I was there for that. I think I loved it. But
I was also there for the saw the highs of Dave Damashek ordering and the lows of Bill Simmons going, "Hey, Chinese food makes you unfunny." and then Jimmy going, "All right, no Chinese food." Yeah, it's good.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
Because he said it had, Jimmy's got MSG that makes you tired. When you're tired, you're not funny. And Jimmy's like, "All right, sandwiches it is." And Chinese food was my favorite part of that job. They bring in the big trays of Chinese food, and you go, "Oh, pork fried rice. Oh, yeah, I'm going to mix it with the regular white rice.
We'll get up over Leno if we remove the General Tso's chicken from..." but yes, I was going to say that on people's life resumes, people delude themselves into thinking that everybody would list that they're a good parallel Parker, even though most people are not good parallel Parkers. I also think most guys think that they know that they can divine, like, "Oh yeah, that woman's into me." But I think they're wildly inaccurate about that. That's to bring it on home. Not to get back to Gary, but Gary, we're talking about you.
Yeah,
I don't think she was into you.
Well, at least I can parallel park both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that. See, that's what, now that's another can
of
worms you just
opened.
Is that
a euphemism for being bi? Now he's unattractive and bi?
He's handsome enough, apparently.
He's unattractive to both sexes now, in my mind.
I think that's clear to everyone.
All right.
All right, we'll bring it on home for you in this sports week on tomorrow's Good Sports. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports!